we shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. T.S. Eliot. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast. In our last episode, we heard from representatives of the Barrow community who spoke at the Polar Sunrise Arctic Circle Conference just hours before the polar sunrise on January 23rd. In this episode, we'll learn more about the community of Barrow and visit one of the historic hotspots, Brower's Cafe. You can view all of the images that were taken during that experience on the supporting Sun Earth Day podcast page. But before we take our trip to the cafe, I have to share a brief experience I just had. While working on these podcasts at my temporary desk here in Barrow, I couldn't help but to overhear a rather excited conversation taking place just outside my door. Of course, I had to check it out, and I'm really glad I did. One of the drivers was telling everyone in the hall about a little seal who had apparently lost his way in downtown Barrow. Listen in.
My name is Michael Donovan, born and raised in Barrow. Yeah, we just got report that there was a spotted seal running around in town.
Oh, wow.
Spotted in town, actually, from the road and crossed the road, and then it's up in by the locals' houses, you know, running around in the snow.
Well, what happens now? Is it okay for it just to be running around, or...
What it is, it's probably lost due to the blizzard. Probably came out of its hole and lost its hole during the blizzard, during the snowstorm.
Uh-huh.
What it is, it's looking for water is what it's doing. So it's out traveling around and just totally lost. Come up off the ice onto the road into town.
No kidding.
And they maneuver pretty good in the snow. I was surprised. Like a couple months ago, I told you we found one out by the Cape Keeter snow fence. And I was pretty surprised that it would actually, like, swim in the snow, you know. Like,
really?
It would use the snow like water, you know, and
it would
just swim. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing to see the seal running inland on the tundra.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Is somebody going to go out and try to help it in some way right now? I think you mentioned something about that.
There's the North Slope Borough Wildlife Department here will try to go get it, and then they'll... either take it here to the lab and check it out, see if it's hurt or anything like that, bleeding from any part.
I see.
But what they'll do is most likely bring it back to the ocean and let it go.
And help him get back, back to his
back,
home.
Back home.
That's incredible. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that's a story that can only happen in a place like Barrow, Alaska. With that in mind, let's go ahead and take our trip to Brower's Cafe. Our tour guide is Laura Thomas, the field and lab director for the Nuvik Archaeology Project with BASC, or the Barrow Arctic Science Consortium. The temperature that day was around minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit with a brisk wind coming off the Arctic Ocean just a few hundred yards away. Since this interview took place on location, you'll hear quite a bit of sound in the background, including wind, the engine of our warm, warm truck just a few feet away, and if you listen really close, you just might hear my teeth chattering. Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you today.
It's a little chilly out.
It's very chilly.
You might hear the car running in the background. We pretty much leave cars running all the time up here at this temperature.
That's right. You're gracious enough to drive us around in Barrow right now and to some of the historic sites that are in the town. Can you tell us, where are we standing right now?
We are standing in an area referred to as the Simmons Hill Complex. And when we talk about hill here in Barrow, we're talking about a 4-meter rise in elevation. So it's not dramatic, but it is for the coastal tundra area. And where we're standing, this area right here, the first international polar year back in 1881, 1882, this is the area where Lieutenant Ray set up the refuge station, the scientific monitoring station, and the buildings. And what we have here right now, the buildings that are actually here, looking off to my right is what is now Brower's Cafe, and you can go inside and get hamburger or Korean food.
Nice.
And it's a white building. It's probably about 5 meters long by about 10 meters wide, and it's kind of colonial Yankee whaling style.
I think that's a great description of it. It's a white clapboard building.
Yeah, the wood, of course, we have no trees here in Barrow, so all of the building material is shipped in from the outside. In this case, the materials were shipped in from Seattle on probably the North Star when it came up. Anyway, looking at this building, we can see in the summertime, you can see a little bit better. It's had some modifications to the building. The great thing about buildings in the Arctic is they're very portable and very movable because they're up on pilings.
Okay.
Of course, they need to be on pilings because of the permafrost. If you put a building right on the surface of the ground, it would cause melt and the building to sink. So buildings in Barrow are always up on pilings. So this allows people to move buildings a lot more easily than you would in areas without permafrost. So this building that we're looking at here, as I said, it currently functions as a restaurant. And the inside, it's been remodeled on the inside, but the floor plan is fairly similar to the way it would be back during the first International Polar Year. Following the International Polar Year, well, he's a celebrity in Barrow now. Charles D. Brower came up from the south and developed the Cape Smyth Whaling and Trading Post and Trading Company. So after the 1881, the original scientific IPY use, this building became a general store and a trading company. And you can actually see there's a second story to the building. It's all boarded up right now. But some of Charles D's sons lived up there, and they said that the walls actually have caribou for insulation.
Okay.
It's not regular, the regular white or the regular pink foam stuff that you have for insulation. But the thing that we have to keep in mind in Barrow, again, is that building materials are fairly, they have to come from far away, and so people reuse them again and again and again.
I see.
So in 1963, we're jumping around here a lot in
that's
time.
Fine.
But in 1963, there was a huge, huge flood. The ocean and a big storm. The water actually, from where we're standing, the water actually continued about 2 kilometers inland. And so this whole area was flooded, and the west-facing side of this building, Brower's Cafe, was actually torn off.
Wow.
And as a result of that, all of the buildings are in their original vicinity, but not necessarily in their original location. They've kind of been moved around quite a bit. If you look at actually historic photos of what the building that I'm talking about as Brower's Cafe, what you'll see is if we walk a little further to the west here, probably about 100 meters to the north, we see a kind of similar style construction, the clapboard style building. It's the wood in this case, though, it's graying, it's unpainted. And this very much looks like a shed that you would see pretty much anywhere, I guess, in New England circa 1880s. And this was an outbuilding, or it's part of the 1881 complex of buildings. And the Cunnychuck, or the Arctic entrance, the front part, what in the south we would call a mudroom, the Cunnychuck to the building is actually the Cunnychuck from the Brower's Cafe.
Oh, I see.
So this is just an example, just to show you can visually see. The Cunnychuck is white, the building is gray behind it. They're the same style of construction, but you can see that they're not, they weren't built, they weren't built to go together, but people are always moving things around and recycling buildings. Just to the east of it, about 10 meters to the east of it, there's another building that looks very similar to the gray building, and you can see it has this distinctive kind of diagonal double entryway that swings out very much like a barn style.
Right.
And both of these buildings, as I said, are related to the 1881 buildings and may, in fact, the one on the left with the Cunnychuck may actually be the 1881 science monitoring building.
Oh, incredible. Okay.
We have line drawings, color pictures, as well as some photographs of the building, and they show a wind vane coming up and a flag, as well as a mount for a machine gun.
When, oh, wow.
Of course, this was the military that came up in 1881, and to make sure that, you know, there was no, I guess, insurgency or resistance from the local Inupiat population, decided to bring a little bit of muscle to flex their arm, as it were, to see that. So we're looking that off to the kind of northwest. If we look to the southeast over this way, there's a complex of buildings and homes. The main one that we see in the foreground is kind of a pink color with a black stripe running across it. It has a bunch of windows. It has a very similar construction style to the New England style to it. But if you look closely, although it's painted on the outside in all similar colors, if you look closely, you can see that the additions have kind of been and added together. So one of these, probably the middle section of this, relates to the original Brower residence, which, as I said, prior to 1881, Charles D. Brower began the Cape Smyth Whaling Company. So that's probably relating to the original residence. But again, it's very difficult to tell. There were three houses here. Charles D. Brower brought in three houses, the material for three houses from Seattle, and he built them for his umialiks, or whaling captains. He was kind of subsidizing three whaling crews, or had three whaling crews working for him, and then he would sell the baleen, etc., etc. At any rate, these three houses are no longer here. They've been towed. One has been towed as far away as Aluktuk, which is also known as Half Moon 3. Uh-huh. It's probably about 70 kilometers inland in the coast, and you can only really get there by boat. So they actually brought this pre-built house down there. Yes, yeah. So Half Moon 3 is interesting as well, because as well as maintaining the Cape Smyth Whaling and Trading Company, Charles D. Brower had a reindeer ranch reindeer herder. So there's a big corral with reindeers down at Aluktuk.
Now, can you tell us what we're directly in front of us, just to the left of the buildings you were just describing?
Right.
Is an arch.
Right. This is the Barrow Kodak moment. This is where the tour bus pulls up. The arches were put up in 1980 or 81 by some of Charles D. Brower's sons. Charles D. actually died in 1945 or 46, I believe. So it was kind of put up as a memorial to Charles D. Brower, but also what we're looking at, the arches are actually the lower jawbone of a bowhead whale.
Incredible.
And so bowheads, of course, are baleen whales, so they don't have teeth. They have keratin plates that you see that are black, kind of shiny like vinyl records, and the bowheads use the baleen to siphon off the plankton. They take in big, huge gulps of water and siphon out the water and keep the plankton. So as I said, what we're looking at is two lower jawbones kind of set on end, forming an arch. There's a smaller juvenile bowhead whale skull that we look out to the Chukchi Sea.
And just below the arch.
Yeah, just below the arch. And then flanking the arch on the right and the left are the wood and bone the skeletons or the ribbing material for umiaks. Umiaks are open boats. If you can imagine a big canoe, they're large open boats, and the frames are covered with bearded seal skin. And it's these boats that are used to go hunting whales in the springtime, still today in Barrow.
You can learn more about the community of Barrow by visiting the Basque website at http://www.arcticscience.org. When you get to the site, click on the About Barrow link. In that section, you can read about the population, economy, education, and quality of life. In upcoming podcasts, we'll take you on an audio voyage of Barrow, as experienced by Dorian Janney, a visiting middle school teacher from Parkland Magnet Middle School in Rockville, Maryland. You also hear interviews conducted by high school student Kara Mayo. Kara spent quite a bit of time talking with cultural representatives of Barrow and scientists who attended the Arctic Circle Polar Sunrise Conference. She also interviewed Elaine Lewis from NASA's Sun Earth Connection Education Forum about her visits to a variety of schools in and around the Barrow area during the conference. And remember that in just a few weeks, you'll be able to access a special webpage on the Sun Earth Day website, complete with science video clips and images taken directly from the Polar Gateways Conference. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.